You are tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The following program is a rebroadcast of Salvation is from the Jews with Roy Shoman.
Hi, this is Roy Shoman, and welcome once again to Salvation is from the Jews, the show on Radio Maria that celebrates the Jewish roots of the Catholic Church, or seen the other way around, the completion, the fulfillment, the full realization of all of the promise of Judaism in the Catholic Church and its sacraments. If you've been with us in the past, you know that I sometimes have the great privilege and pleasure to welcome another Jewish convert, as they would typically be called, although I think that in my case, and I think probably, I don't want to speak for her, but perhaps even in the case of my guest today, we don't think of ourselves as much as converts as we do as fulfilled or completed Jews, having come into the fullness of post-Messianic Judaism, which is the Catholic Church. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, so let me just say that it's my great pleasure to have on today a friend of mine who is also a very grateful and enthusiastic and Jewish entrant into the Catholic Church. And so, without wasting more time, I'll welcome Annette. Are you there, Annette?
Yes, I am. Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom Aleichem.
All of your listeners.
Which means?
Peace and God be with you, my friends.
Amen. So I guess a reasonable place to start is just to start at the beginning. You are presumably Jewish, from a Jewish background?
Yes, I am, Roy.
And would you like to say what a nice Jewish girl like you is doing in a place like this?
Well, God put me here. I was born to be a Jewish Catholic. I was named Anna Miriam, so I'm going to dedicate my testimony today to Mary, the Mother of God, and to Saint Anne, her mother. I believe, along with Saint Edith Stein, it was their powerful prayers that brought me to the Messiah. And I recall that scripture in Jeremiah where, before I formed you, I knew you.
So do you want to start at the beginning with some slight description of what your childhood or Jewish upbringing was like, and then what brought you into the Catholic Church?
Yes, I would love to share that with you. Well, first of all, my Jewish family, they were Russian Orthodox Jews, as well as Spanish Jews, Sephardic Jews, both sets of my grandparents. So they were just sort of a mixture. I was the oldest of five children, two boys and three girls, and I grew up mostly in my grandfather's house, which was two blocks away from the synagogue. And I would go with him every single day to the temple as he would worship and pray. He would have on these beautiful long talluses and yarmulkes, and I loved the Rabbi Zaitchik would have these great big pockets and filled with candy for the children. And I loved being Jewish. I loved going to the temple with my grandfather. It was Temple Beth Or, which means house of light. And he would put these paraphylacteries around his forehead and his chest and his arms. And I would ask him, "Grandfather, what are those things?" And he would say, "Oh, I'm listening to God through them, daughter. I'm just listening." And I thought, gee, if I could get those on my head, I could hear God. And I would stand beside him as he would daven, which is the Hebrew way of praying, the Orthodox Hebrew way, which you stand with your hands in the air and pray. And in my grandmother and grandmother's house, they had all of these little miniature Torahs.
Well, I'm sorry for that, people, but it seems like we have temporarily lost Annette. Are you back, Annette?
Yes, I am.
Great. I'm sorry for the interruption, and if you could just pick up where you left off, going to shul with your grandfather.
Yes. I think I was talking about my parents and their marriage. By the way, I was born in Des Moines, Iowa, and my father worked at the Jewish Community Center. As an activities director, a social worker, and we lived in a neighborhood where there were some Catholic neighbors, and as I had said before, And you're going to hear during my testimony how truly God's hand was on me to come into the Catholic Church. Next door to us were neighbors who had a lot of difficulty. They were arguing and fighting. They had two daughters, and my father would have to go and break up a lot of fights. Finally, one day, he finally was able to stop the fighting next door. But I noticed something about Marie and her husband that was extraordinary. Marie would go to Mass every Sunday, and a priest would come over and comfort and console her and the children. I was very impressed with that, and I encourage all of you who listen, who love the Lord and His Church, to remember that people are watching you. Well, as a young child, I was watching that, and I was very moved by that. I thought it was beautiful. Also, we had a television set. It was brand new, DuPont television when it first came out. Now you know how old I am. Anyway, on TV, there was only one station, and on that one station was Bishop Sheen. Well, my mother loved him, and we all loved him. I don't know what he said, but we loved him. And he looked very holy. You knew that you were in the presence of an extraordinary human being when he spoke. So his words just flowed out, and we were all really, really blessed by him as children. And we watched him regularly, and I think a lot of Jewish people watched Bishop Sheen at that time. Now, I was made to be a little mother to my family, mother, sister, brother, father, God. I was the oldest. I loved them all intensely, and it was a tremendous burden for me to carry. I cared about each one of them so much, and I was always concerned and worried about all of their problems and concerns and so forth. That was as a young child. My mother would share her problems with me and about the marriage. And of course, it just broke my heart to hear that there were problems because I loved them both equally. But I would sit and I would listen, and I really believe that God was preparing me for the ministry that He was going to give me in His Holy Church, even at that time, and the Blessed Mother as well. In my teens, I remember many, many people, Gentile children and young people, calling me a dirty Jew and that I killed Christ. I especially remember trying to get my driver's license, and the driver instructor asked me what religion I was, and I said Jewish, and he just wrote failed right on top of it. I was crushed. I knew what it was like to be persecuted. I remember being beaten up by other children for being Jewish, and I never told my parents. I was always afraid. I sort of wore a mask. I didn't want my mother and father to know. I don't know why, but I just know that God was in my life then, showing me what the Messiah must have felt like when he was beaten. There was no reason for them to beat me except that I was Jewish. And later, when I read the New Testament for the first time, I was so happy that that happened to me, that suffering, because it made me realize how much he had suffered for me as well, and I could identify with him. We lived close to a cathedral. About a block and a half away, it was St. John's in Iowa, and across the street from us was a Pentecostal church. So we would drive past that going back and forth to school, and inscribed above the cathedral was Matthew chapter 11, I believe verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and labor, and I will give you rest." And the doors were always open in this church. And I always felt if I could just go in there, I would know peace. Because I had no peace. I was so busy taking care of my family and worrying about everybody, every little sniffle, having to be a mother to them all without really having a mother, in as much as my mother was my daughter, my child. And she was beautiful and she loved me, but I always felt responsible to take care of her. So I thought, gee, that's a That's a marvelous call. I didn't know that it meant that if we took the Eucharist, Holy Communion, we would have the power and strength to go through any trouble, any difficulty, any tragedy, any trial. I had no idea about any of that, but I knew that if I could just get in that church, I would have some peace. But I was afraid if I walked in that all of my Jewish ancestors 5,000 years ago would have risen up and called me a traitor. So I didn't walk in there. Well, later on in my teens, I went to work at Mercy Hospital. Now, here again was God drawing me and calling me straight with crooked lines in a way. Mercy Hospital was close to our synagogue, and I went to work as a switchboard operator, and I was going to earn money to come away to school. I wanted to go to art school in Chicago. So I lied to the office manager and told him that I would be staying, so they taught me how to work the switchboard. Well, at Mercy Hospital, there was a nun, Sister Mary Pauline, and she really was a saint, I'm sure. I think she just walked into heaven. She had cancer. I don't think she ever died, but she was sort of the head of the surgery department, and I really think the boss of the whole hospital. But anyway, she would come up to me, and she would say, "Annette, do you know Jesus?" And I thought, I wouldn't even answer her. I couldn't even open my mouth. I was so horrified. But I admired her so much. She was so lovely, and she was paying attention to me, and I really liked the attention. But I wouldn't answer her. Anyway, there was a chapel in that hospital, and I would walk in, an adoration chapel. I knew nothing about adoration or anything, but I didn't know what was in there. I'd walk in there and feel clean, walk out and feel dirty. I thought, what's going on here? It was just a feeling in my soul, in my spirit. So I kept doing that, and I thought, I wonder what this is all about. I really didn't understand at the time the incredible power of the living presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And of course, now I understand all about that. At any rate, I quit working. I told my office manager that I was out of there. And in the meantime, they hired the hospital asked the Lemon Sisters to come and sing. I don't know if you're familiar with them. So many of you who are older, maybe, but they were a group of beautiful, beautiful Catholic Christians, and their father came in, and they would sing these wonderful hymns, and there they were right at the hospital, singing all of these beautiful hymns, and I wondered at how lovingly that father treated his daughters. I had never seen, although my father was very, very kind to us, but I had never seen such love and gentleness and kindness that this father had for those four girls. And of course, they became quite famous. Then they were, as well as later on. And I thought to myself, what in the world is this all about? Well, you know, Gone with the Wind was very popular when I was a young woman, and I thought, like Scarlett, I'm just going to think about that tomorrow. I won't worry about that. So I kind of forgot about it and got ready to leave the hospital and go to Chicago to art school. And the office manager was furious with me. So were the people in the office. They had trained me perfectly to run that switchboard, and now I was leaving. I had lost.
I apologize, listeners. We seem to be having some technical problems today. Bear with me a moment while I try to get Annette back on the line. I think we've got her. You had just resigned from working the switchboard at Mercy Hospital to go to art school.
Yes. And Sister Mary Pauline came to me. She knew I had lied to the office manager, and she came up to me and she said, "Annette, you've made the right decision. I'm glad you're going back to school." I looked at her and I couldn't believe it. She said, "I want you to know that you'll have my blessing." I thought, what in the world is this about? I had never met anyone that returned good for evil. I was very shaken. You can't imagine how I felt. I mean, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's how I grew up. You fought back. You got even. What is this turning the other cheek and blessing me when I had robbed the hospital? I couldn't believe it. I was staggering. I just stood there, and she said, by the way, your little brother, Michael, I know he was born. I have a rose from my garden for him. I want you to give it to Michael Joseph. I couldn't believe it. I just stood there stunned. Well, I thought after a few minutes, after I composed myself a little bit, I thought, well, like Scarlett, I'll think about that tomorrow. So I left and went on my way to Chicago, to art school. It was very hard for me to leave my family since I felt so responsible for them, but I went anyway. And I got to art school. It was at the American Academy of Art in Chicago. It's a block away from the Art Institute. And I began my classes. I was living with my grandmother in Chicago, my Jewish grandmother and my aunt. And all of a sudden, one day, the most beautiful Catholic boy that ever lived walked into the art school 54 years ago. And I looked at my little friend sitting next to me, and I said to her, I'm going to marry that boy. I just couldn't believe that I felt that way. Well, anyway, I proceeded to chase my Tom all over the art school until I finally caught him. And we did get married, thanks be to God. We were married by a minister, and my mother said, he's a prince, marry him, which I was shocked. My father was very upset, but once when he came to the wedding, this was a minister that was a justice of the peace. He was not marrying us in Christ's name, because I told him, don't mention Jesus Christ or my father will leave the wedding. And his face just looked so grave and stern. I know that I hurt him. But I'm sure that all of heaven was saying, just wait till we get her. So anyway, my father came to the wedding, and he did say to me, and he did give me his blessing. He did say, God, he didn't say God. He said, love will have its way. Well, God is love. Well, anyway, a year later, our son Daniel was born, and he was born at St. Francis Hospital in Evanston, Illinois. And there was a young woman there that took communion in the bed next to me, and her husband was so sweet to her and had such love. And again, it was that love that was impressing me, that extraordinary love that I had seen in Sister Mary Pauline and Maria, who had lived next door to me, and the priest that had come to visit her. And I was very moved by that. And I wondered what in the world she was receiving. And they had to pull the curtain between us so that the priest could give her Holy Communion. And I was a little jealous of the happiness between her and her husband, because there certainly wasn't that kind of love between Tom and I, at least me for him. Only with Christ can we have that beautiful, extraordinary love that comes from heaven, that's divine, and a marriage that's blessed in his church. So anyway, during that time, I took my baby home, and I saw a picture of Pope John the 23rd. I know he's going to be canonized pretty soon here. I'm not a bit surprised. I looked at that picture on the paper. It must have been when he became Pope, but I knew that was the face of God. And I knew nothing about the Catholic Church. I just knew that his face looked like Christ. And of course, this is what we all have to strive for, to look like Christ to others. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful man. He must be, that must be what God the Father and Jesus, you know, it looks like. Because at the time, I didn't know to say Jesus Christ and that they were one. Well, anyway, we were living in Chicago, and of course my mother and my sisters and dad and sisters and brothers were living in Des Moines, and I received a call from my mother to please come home a year after my son was born, that my father was very sick. I had a dream that God took the roof off of our home and took my daddy, my beautiful Jewish dad, into heaven. Now, I haven't mentioned, but a year before this happened, when I was pregnant with our son, my father told me to read the New Testament 3 times, and I watched his face change. I know now that it was the anointing. His face completely, every line on his face was gone, and he looked heavenly. And I said, Daddy, why would you even tell me that? We're Jews. Why in the world would you want us to read the New Testament when we would become traitors? We would be traitors. And my father said, just read it, Annette. Well, here a year later, he was very, very ill. And I decided to take my son. Well, I had this dream that God was taking him into heaven. And I thought, I was really scared because as a child growing up, I didn't understand that there's a veil over the eyes of my people and over my eyes. I didn't understand what heaven was. I thought this is the end. I'll never see him again. I was devastated. So finally, when I arrived home at our house in Des Moines, I walked in and my mother and my sister were absolutely devastated. I said, what's wrong? My sister had called earlier, and the doctor had told her that my dad, 47 years old, had 3 months to live. He had lung cancer. It was like a bomb went off inside of me. I sat down on the couch. Everything exploded. It was like the world had come to an end. There's no way to describe that I'd never see him again. I couldn't believe that was happening. And, of course, here I'm supposed to be the one that's the strong one, the oldest, taking care of everyone. And I'm sitting on the couch exploding and walking off the world. Well, anyway, I sat there a while. I looked at my mother and sister, their eyes filled with tears. And I said, don't worry. We'll go to that synagogue where my grandfather, where I was raised as a child. We'll go to the temple and we'll pray for Daddy. So we got in my father's car and we drove to the synagogue. And it was late. It was before the High Holy Day, or not the High Holy Days. Yes, they were yet to come. It was in September, and it was before the service. And it took 9 men to start a service in the synagogue. So we thought we'd get there early so that we could pray before they arrived. And so we got to the temple. We were in the parking lot, and we looked over at the synagogue, and we saw there were no cars. There were absolutely no cars anywhere in front of it or in the parking lot. So my sister said, what if we can't get in? I said, that's all right. We'll just come back and pray by the car, because we knew that God could heal my father. We had read all the Bible scriptures, opening the Red Sea, everything, Joseph with his brothers. We had read all these scriptures, and we knew that God could do anything, open the Jordan, whatever. So we got out of the car. We walked up to the temple doors. There were 4 of them, huge doors, 10 feet tall, probably maybe even 11 feet wide, 4 doors. And we stood there, and they were locked. We walked back to the chapel. Those were locked. Came back around to the front. The doors were still locked. And at that time, I went down on my knees crying and sobbing. I had lost it. My sister looked at me on the ground, and she thought, well, there goes my strength. She took her fist to heaven, remembering what St. John's Cathedral had said, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She remembered those doors wide open, and she said to God, if this were a church, those doors would be opened. And with that, all 4 of those temple doors opened. We were terrified. We couldn't believe what was happening. And that was so many years ago. I don't even want to tell you how many years ago, but there were no electric seeing eye doors or anything. They all opened in front of us. And we both stood up, and we were, I don't know how to describe how we felt, but it wasn't like jumping up and down and saying, oh, praise the Lord. There was a sort of a reverent fear, an awe of what had just happened. But we were afraid to walk in the front door, so we walked around back to the chapel. We got back there, and the chapel light was now lit, and that door was wide open. I went right into the chapel. I had no doubt that God had opened those doors. My sister went through the synagogue, through the gift shops, everywhere, calling, "Who's there?" Rebecca's always been a little scientist anyway, so she had to make sure that no one was in there. I knew no one was in there. She came back and said, "Annette, there's no one there." In the meantime, I'm on my knees, which is not the Jewish custom, by the way, praying and begging God to save my daddy's life. And so finally we got up, we prayed for my father, we got up and went out of the chapel back to the parking lot in the car. By this time, there was still no one there. The doors were still open, the chapel doors and the doors to the sanctuary or in the temple. So we got back in the car and we're sitting there and I'm getting ready to drive home. We hardly said a word to each other, except that my sister said, "How could this be happening?" And I did say to her, "Well, honey, look, if God could open the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites, he can certainly open temple doors for two girls who are in despair and suffering so over the sickness of their father." I did say that. Well, all of a sudden, we looked up in the sky. Now, I had never read the New Testament. I did not know that Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. I did not know that. There was a huge star hovering over, like a helicopter, the synagogue. I can still see it to this day. And it was going up into the heavens, just ascending rather than falling, so we knew it wasn't a falling star. Well, we turned to each other, and I just said to my sister, I said, "It's like a Walt Disney movie." We couldn't believe what was happening. And I thought, well, if all of God, we'll have to think about that later. We'll just think about it later. So we went home to my mother's house, and we walked in. By the way, I was totally revived by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but I felt like I had the strength of a giant, and I was fine and ready for anything. And, of course, that was God's grace. And my sister, we had stopped crying. We had gone there to pray for our father, and we had met personally our Heavenly Father that had intervened from heaven and stretched down his hands to open those doors for us. We were thrilled. So we got in the front door at my mom's house, and we walked in. "Mom, you just," and we told her what happened. We couldn't believe it, and she just looked at us, and she said, "That's impossible. That could never have happened, daughters." I called the synagogue. I talked to one of the men, and they said they had doubly locked those temple doors because the rabbi was on vacation prior to the whole High Holy Days, and neither one of you could have gotten in. So we said, "Mother, we did. We did go in. We walked through the synagogue. There was no one there. No one would believe us. My sister's husband didn't. He was the only one. He did believe her. She was married at that time, but my husband didn't believe me. And we looked at each other. We couldn't believe that no one would believe us. I sort of felt like maybe Mary Magdalene, and when she'd come back to say, "He is risen," and nobody believed her. So that was the way we felt. But we turned to each other, and we said, "Well, we're each other's witnesses. We both saw it, and it did happen." And so, gosh, that was thrilling. I always get so excited when I think about what God had done for us. And I do know that there's not a doubt in my mind, wherever two are gathered in my name, if they ask anything, I will do it for them. And there we were asking in the name of Jesus Christ, because like St. Joan of Arc has said so beautifully, when she was asked about Christ in the church, and she mentioned that Christ and the church are simply just one thing. Let's not complicate the issue. So I know that now, but at the time we didn't understand any of that. We never read a New Testament, so we didn't really know what was happening. Well, my father was in the hospital ward dying, and I would visit him. I had the strength to do that, to gather my whole family together and to prepare to sell the house and to get everything done. And one time, he was in a ward in the veterans hospital, and this beautiful man walked in, and on television was Perry Como singing the Ave Maria. And my father and everyone in that ward, we were all watching it. And this man that walked in said, as he pointed to the television set, "That is the only thing in this world that matters." And then he left. And there must have been about four others in that ward with my dad. And I thought, that was strange. I mean, I love the music, and I love Perry Como, but what was that all about? The next day, that beautiful man was dead. And I'm certain that I'm going to see him in heaven with all my Jewish family, because he was pointing the way for us. Thank you. Well, anyway, I didn't understand any of this. Came back to Chicago, and I don't know if any of you have ever lost a loved one or anything, but my daddy was the most important thing in the world to me at that time, and I was very mad at God. Even though he opened the temple doors, he didn't save my father, and I was mad because he took him, and he died. So I joined a temple called Temple Beth Or, and my husband was mad at the Catholic Church at the time because they wouldn't marry us. That's another story, and we don't have time to go into all that. But he said, "Go right ahead, Annette. If you want to go to the synagogue, that's fine." So we did. We joined this Temple Beth Or, and the rabbi turned out to be an atheist, and he was teaching humanism. So I'm reading all the philosophers and everything, and I became Mrs. Temple Beth Or, and I wanted to be popular and famous. And in the meantime, my sister would always say, "Annette," my sister Rebecca would say, "what about those temple doors? What happened? Don't you remember? Why are you turning away from God?" And I would just ignore her. And I'd just say, "I think about it next time," like Scarlett O'Hara. "I'll think about it tomorrow." So anyway, I was raising my little brother by that time, because my mother couldn't do it. And I took him, and we were raising him, and I had Daniel, and I was living this very selfish life, vain life, wanting everybody to notice me and pay attention to me. And I'd maxed out my husband's credit cards, and he came to me and told me he wanted a divorce. And I thought to myself, who's going to divorce Mrs. Beth Orr? I mean, I'm Mrs. Popular, and all you have to do to be popular in that synagogue was work, and I worked. So I became real popular fast. And so one time we were at a party, and they asked us to draw a picture of our spouses. And my husband, I drew a picture of him, of course, and he drew a picture of me, and it was a perfect witch. I looked at it, and I thought, gee, that's a pretty good picture. Remember, we went to art school together, so we could draw. And I thought, well, I was even tempted to take it home because it was such an accurate sketch of a witch. But I thought, I'll think about that tomorrow. Let's just forget it. Well, God did a wonderful thing for me. I do believe that most suffering is for salvation. There's not a doubt in my mind. I had a nervous breakdown. I just broke apart. And I can't tell you how I felt. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was walking around thinking, what is wrong with me? I didn't want to go to any doctors. I had gone to a psychiatrist, and I thought, he doesn't know anything. I'm so sick. And all I could think about was becoming unselfish. I wanted to be good, but I didn't know how. Annie Frank had said that, and I had read that. And I had read Les Mis, by the way. The rabbi had recommended that book to us, believe it or not. And I had read it, and I was shocked by Jean Valjean. He had reminded me of Sister Mary Pauline. So I was thinking about becoming unselfish. So I started to try. I thought, maybe I'll get better if I'm unselfish. So I tried, and no matter what I tried, I collapsed. Finally, I ended up in the hospital. I had a kidney infection, and I thought I was dying. I was terrified to die. Just terrified. Well, Michael and Daniel, that was my son and my little brother, would come to visit me, and I thought, I'm just a mess. I can't do anything. I can't be a good wife or a good mother. My husband wanted a divorce, and I can't even take care of these kids. And the woman that lived next door to me told me that I was a very neglected mother, a neglectful mother, and why didn't I stay home with these kids? But, of course, I was busy trying to make myself great in the eyes of every human being by being Mrs. Beth Orr. So I ignored my housework. I didn't clean the house. I slapped food on the table, and I was a terrible mother and a terrible wife and a terrible sister. And even my family couldn't stand me. So I was really very, very upset that I just couldn't be good. And finally, I decided to kill myself. I thought, well, I'm just going to jump. I have no peace. I can't sleep at night. I wasn't taking any medication. It's important that you know that. I wasn't taking medication at all. And I decided that I would drown and drive the car into the lake, which was close to where we lived in Highland Park, Illinois. So I had never read the scripture except that you be born again. You shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The wind blows where it wills. No one knows where it goes. So it is with those who are born again. I had never laid my eyes on the New Testament. I was thinking exactly how I was going to die, and the kids would be better without me, but no one would love them as I did. I knew that. So, just as I was planning all of this, in through the window came this breeze, and I thought, oh no, it's going to rain, and here I'm going to drown myself, and it's, we do think ridiculous thoughts at the most incredible times. Well, anyway, when that wind hit me, I was raptured out of my body and into the universe. And I could see the planets and the stars just twirling about me. And I had never felt such power and such love. Never. There's no words. I can't even describe it to you, how I felt. I was afraid, but it was wonderful. And it was just unbelievable. Well, finally, I started to cry out for my husband. And I thought, I did. I cried out, Tom, Tom, and all of a sudden I heard in an interior voice, oh, so you don't want to die. And I said, no, I don't want to die. Boom, right back down in my body I came. Now, I had never heard about being raptured. I never even thought about we have to choose life, not death. Well, right then and there, I chose life. So I was back down in my body, still as sick as ever, but I thought, now I'm nuts. I'm really crazy. I'm going to go to the local mental institution. I'm having hallucinations, but I didn't want to die. So that was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I didn't wake up. I laid there the whole night because I was afraid it was going to come back, and I was afraid of it. But I walked into the living room, and I heard the sweetest voice, and I heard, welcome home, daughter. I am your heavenly father. I will make you a perfect wife and mother. You never have to worry again. I thought, I'm nuts. I sat down on the couch. And just as I sat down on the couch, the telephone rang. It was my childhood friend, Jewish friend, Francine. And I picked up the phone. She said, Annette, I want to come to the University of Chicago. I need to get my psychiatric social worker's degree. I want to stay with you for about 6 weeks. Is that possible? I said, oh, sure, I need a psychiatrist. I said, I've been up to the universe. I'm hearing voices. I've had a nervous breakdown. Come on in. She said, Annette, you've got to meet Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You have found God. I said, don't you tell me about this Christ, Francine. I am not going to be a traitor. She said, I'll meet you in O'Hare Field. Pick me up on Monday. We hung up, and I went into the living room, and I thought to myself, well, if God is talking to me, I'm just going to ask him. So I said, Father, if this is you, is Jesus Christ your son. And he said in the sweetest voice, my daughter, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. I have waited years to tell you. I said, oh, my God, Father, what about my whole family, my mother, my sisters, my brothers? What about all of us? Well, he's the Messiah. I went from one end of the house in the typical Jewish fashion, screaming and crying out to God, why did you wait so long? How could you do this to me? And I just couldn't believe it. It was just incredible. He was the Messiah. I told my husband to go out and get me a New Testament. Tom ran out and got me a New Testament. And I read the scriptures, and I fell in love with this beautiful Jewish rabbi. Let me just go back a little bit here. I knew I could recognize Jesus because of the people in my life that had exemplified his love and his incredible ability to return good for evil. And I recognized him when I read the scriptures, and I knew that he was the Son of God. So I got down on my knees and I said, Father in heaven, I want an altar. I want a rosary. I want the books on the saints. Let's see, books on the saints, and I want you to help me to know how to become a Jewish Christian. And that's exactly what I got. My husband went, built me a little altar for our home. I didn't know that one day that he was going to bring me to the greatest altar, which is the Catholic Church and the Eucharist, which he did. I'm just wondering, Roy, how much more time do we have?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt. I think it was so beautiful, I was afraid of interrupting the spirit. I would say we probably have at least 15 minutes. And
okay,
if you're not, you know, baptized and receiving communion in 10 minutes, I'll spur you on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll have to let go of a lot of things. Well, my Spanish Jewish grandfather had put his hands on me as a 3-year-old and said that this child will be a menshava. That meant a blessing to God and to her whole family. Menshula means blessing to God and blessing to others. So he had given me his blessing. It's so important to receive the blessing of heaven from your father and mother, and your families need to give that blessing to your children. Just make the sign of the cross on their foreheads and bless them as often as possible, because, wow, what a powerful blessing. I got busy and I tried to evangelize my whole Jewish family. I was in their face like you wouldn't believe, in the typical Jewish fashion, and my mother would say, daughter, it's all right that you, it's all right, she would say, for you, but don't bother me with this. Well, I kept trying to let her understand that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And my sister Rebecca, she was so angry with me. She called my sister Marlene and said, tell my sister Annette never to call me again. I don't want to talk about this Jesus. Well, you know, Jews need signs. Well, I've had plenty of them. And I just said to God, I guess you're going to have to do what you promised me. You'd save my whole family. The Lord was speaking to me, and he had promised that. And I was waiting to see how he would do it. My mother was talking to my Aunt Molly on the telephone. And my Aunt Molly lived on the North Shore. She was very wealthy, and we were always very poor as children. And my Aunt Molly said, I know why you're suffering so much. My sister Marlene, my brother Jack was mentally ill, and my sister Marlene was in a nursing home because she had a terrible automobile accident. And my brother Michael was suffering from Crohn's disease. We had one tragedy after another. And my Aunt Molly had said this to my mother, and my beautiful Jewish mother said to her on the telephone, you know what's wrong with you, Molly? I'll tell you what's wrong. You have never had a problem. You have never no shown your need of a Messiah. Read Isaiah 53. He is the Messiah. With this tear streaming down my beautiful Jewish mother's face, she received the Messiah in her heart and became a Christian. And I took the phone from her and I said, by the way, Aunt Molly, Jesus Christ is also God. Well, by that time, she hung up on me. Well, my sister Rebecca, that was a thrilling conversion. My sister Rebecca, she was very angry with me. Her son had a hole in his heart. And they took him to Children's Memorial Hospital. And I told her, Jesus can heal it. It can be done. The doctors came forth for, I think it was his last appointment, just before he had surgery. They came up to my sister and her husband. They said, Mr. and Mrs. Markovitz, we want you to know that you have had a miracle. David's heart has completely closed. There is no need for surgery. David was 8 years old. My sister walked in the back door of her house where I was sitting and praying, and she said, Annette, you tell me about this Jesus. I want to know about him, and I need him. He has closed my son's heart. Well, needless to say, she has a TV program in Highland Park now for, it's called Fork in the Road, and she's proclaiming the gospel to everyone. Well, I'm still on my way to the Catholic Church here. My beautiful, beautiful husband, I had won him. I had been such a vicious witch of a wife. I had won him for the devil, and the Lord kept telling me, well, now you can win him back for me. All you have to do is to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Say, yes, sir. Now, when a bossy Jewish woman like me has to say, yes, sir, that really took a lot of grace. And I thought, how in the world am I going to do this? Well, I did. I would set the table and make nice suppers, and I'd witness to him. He still was very resentful towards me over all of my sins and the things I had done to hurt him. I begged his forgiveness, and he said he forgave me, but I could tell that he was still very wounded. And so I did all of this for about 2 years, and one day my handsome Catholic husband started to weep and cry and said, I'm going to give my life to Christ, Annette. And he wept for a day and a half, all through the night and the next day, and gave his life to Jesus. And he said, honey, what are we to do? I said, I don't know. He said, maybe I should become a minister. I said, I don't know. In the meantime, Catholic Christians were coming out of the woodwork. He didn't know whether to go back in the Catholic Church or not, because he'd been wounded by a couple of priests in the church, and of course wounded by his witch wife. Well, anyway, now that I had become a different person, he said, you know, Annette, you look like Joan of Arc now. And go to my heir. Can you believe that? So the Lord Jesus Christ really changed me. There was no question about it. But here I am on my way to the Catholic Church. God moves us to Kansas City, Missouri, where the biggest Catholic-sponsored interdenominational charismatic conference was ever held and ever will be in the world. And I attended that conference. The Lord said, I want you to come in to my Holy Catholic Church. I said, Lord, they hated me. They called me dirty Jews. How can I possibly come into this church? It's impossible. Well, I went to visit St. Teresa's Catholic Church because the Lord had told me he wanted me to come into the church. And I noticed that all the people that walked up and received this bread and wine came back, and there was roses emanating from them. And I thought, what kind of perfume are these women wearing? And I asked them, and they said Sierra, so I went out and bought a bottle, but it didn't smell like those roses. I didn't know that the Blessed Mother sends roses to accompany her son in the Holy Eucharist. I didn't know any of that. I do now. But anyway, I was drawn. I was drawn to the church. They treated me like Queen Esther, this prayer group that I attended. And I decided, well, I'm going to go through this 9 months of catechism or whatever it was back then. And I did. I went through it, but I still didn't know anything. I don't know why, but I just didn't. And I was very doubtful. Well, the night before I was to be confirmed. Of course, Tom and I had our marriage blessed in the church because they wouldn't confirm me without that happening. And they were acting like I was married for the first time, and I didn't understand it, but I went along with it because out of obedience to Jesus. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. If you want me in this church, I'll join. So anyway, it's the night before I was to be confirmed in the church. By the way, Roy, I was baptized before that in a Pentecostal church, and as well as in the River Jordan in Jerusalem, I was baptized. So the Catholic Church does accept those baptisms. But I was to be confirmed, and I said to God, why do you want me in this church? I'm so nervous. I just don't know that I can do this. My people, I mean, there was such hatred for my people. And I'm at, by the way, let me go back a little bit. At that conference, Art Katz was speaking, Jews for Jesus. He asked for nuns to walk up. He wanted some nuns to come forth to the podium. There were 60,000 people. Two nuns walked up to the podium. One got down on her knees and begged the forgiveness of the Jewish people She begged the Jewish people, or Art Katz, to forgive the Catholic Church for persecuting the Jewish people. I couldn't believe it. And Art Katz, of course, you know, said, of course, we forgive you. And she walked back into the audience, and I thought, well, this church couldn't be so bad after all. So things were happening. All these signs, you know, God is always doing these things. So anyway, when he wants you to do something, and I just pray that all of you will have that knowledge of God working in your lives as well. Well, anyway, I do want to say this. Years later, I met this beautiful nun because I wanted her to come and speak at a prayer group that I was leading. And I told her this story, and she said, that was me, and we have been friends for the past 40 years, almost 40 years. Mother John Marie and the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in Channing, Texas. Isn't that incredible? That was another story. But anyway, getting back to my asking God before my confirmation in the Catholic Church and my entering into the church, I said, I just can't. You're going to have to give me a dream. Well, I had the most powerful dream of my life, which I'll try to end my testimony with here. I dreamt that I was in Rome at the Vatican on the porch, and there was a United States flag flying in the air, and I had never been to Rome before, and I started to call out for the Messiah. I thought, where is my Savior? About 50 feet in front of me, I saw the Lord dressed in a Franciscan habit, glued to the most beautiful woman I had ever seen in my life. I did not know that Mary is the mother of the church, the mother of God, that Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. I didn't know any of that, but she was absolutely beautiful, and I thought, someday I've got to paint this. And I thought, gosh, that's what I want. I want to be one with him like that. So I walked up to Christ in order to enter into that oneness, and because she left. And I thought, good, I'm glad she left. Now it's my turn. He would not allow me to enter into that oneness with him. Instead, he put his arm around my shoulder and led me down to another priest. And he said, I want you to listen to him. And I was crushed. I couldn't believe that Jesus was abandoning me. And he left. And I thought, I don't want to listen to this priest. Well, this priest handed me a book. And it was entitled, In the Fullness of Christ. And I thought, and the priest said to me, go home and read this book. So I woke up. That was the end of the dream. The minute I woke up, I knew somehow that oneness with that beautiful woman was Holy Communion. And I haven't missed a day of Holy Mass since then, unless I'm sick or somebody's sick. And I knew that to be united to Christ and one with him, I had to receive Holy Communion. And I wanted that more than anything else in this world. Well, in the fullness of Christ, that was to come later. I was moved back to Texas, where I attended a beautiful a beautiful seminar put on by Father Pakwa, Dr. D'Ambrosio from the University of Dallas, and Dr. Bushman. I was kind of a cafeteria Catholic at that point. I wasn't embracing and believing in all the teachings and the beautiful truths of the tradition, the magisterium. I knew the scriptures. I loved the scriptures. I had really eaten them, but I just couldn't understand it all. I knew God wanted me in the church, and it didn't all come together. Well, at this beautiful weekend retreat, don't ask me what Dr. Bushman said, or Dr. D'Ambrosio, or Father Pakwa. I left, and I knew that everything the church taught was absolutely true. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And after that, God sent me to Medjugorje, where the Blessed Mother appeared to me, and she said, "Daughter, you need me." And see, I couldn't accept her because I didn't want another mother that was going to give me a whole family, and I'd be exhausted trying to take care of everybody. So I think many times we project onto Mary and our own experiences with our mother. And she just stood there in the airport, just stood there looking at me at Mostar and telling me that I needed her. And I told her, "Please, Mother, please walk with me and be with me." All the way back to the United States, I cried my eyes out that I had neglected her and hadn't received her in my heart. And so right after I got home from Medjugorje, the Blessed Mother handed me the Magnificat Ministry to Catholic Women. And I began to have the power because the sacrament of confirmation, and because of her, to start prayer breakfasts in Dallas, in Grapevine, Texas, which is two prayer breakfasts a year and a day of renewal, which I was so happy to invite Roy Showman to when I moved here to Illinois, where I started another Magnificat breakfast with the Holy Mother's help. And I've led that for the past 13 years now, and we have two prayer breakfasts a year. And Roy, I do want you to come back and testify.
Anytime.
So anyway, all I can say is, I do want to say this last, I want to just end with this for all of you, because it's very important. I've had a lot of suffering in my life. My brother committed suicide. I had a terrible divorce with my son and couldn't see my great-grandchildren. I've had one cross after another. It's that Eucharist that got me through everything, got me through it, above it, and beyond it, and praising God for it, because I have all these sufferings to offer up for God's church, for my Jewish people, for my family, and for all of you. So I'm very grateful he got me through it all. And also I want to add this one last comment. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. God has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Shalom Aleichem, my friends.
I'm speechless. Amen. Thank you. Nothing I can add to that. Nothing needs to be added to that. Just thank you so much for coming on the show, and I thank our listeners for listening. That's all we have time for now. I hope you come back next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The program you just heard was a rebroadcast of Salvation is from the Jews with Roy Showman.